Good morning, and welcome back to your morning conversation here on KXCV KRNW. I'm your host, Jeremy Werner. And joining me this morning is Missouri State Senator Rusty Black, who represents our portion of our Missouri listening area here at KXCV KRNW. Rusty, as always, it's a pleasure to have you on. First question, about a little over a month into the legislative session, and I know there are a few bills that you've kind of stamped your name on, but there's one in particular that you've authored that not only impacts our listening area, but tackles a topic that is even on the governor's mind. Go ahead and tell us about your bill that deals with the foreign ownership of farmland here in the Show Me State.
Yes, the foreign land ownership bill that I have filed is just almost a duplicate to the bill that I filed last year. And that bill, the argument, if people remember back, or not argument, but the political side was the political commercials, me versus somebody else. And I'm just saying that. And who voted for what on that bill to allow up to a cap of 1% of land to be owned by a foreign entity. And that foreign entity is foreign business, a foreign legal alien, et cetera, of our state. No countries can own land in the United States except for where their embassies are at. And when we're making commercials, we throw that in. But I hope listeners realize that Canada itself can't come down to Missouri, at least on the face, and buy land. They'd have to hide it through LLCs and all kinds of things to be able to do that. So let's go back to my bill. The bill that's filed this year had made it to the very end last year of the legislative session, and it had mistakes in it. It had the word foreign government in the wrong place three times. So we went to conference committee, and that's a committee between the House and the Senate. The decision was made to get that, you know, pull those things where it was mistyped, and that's what happened, out of there. But then politics got involved in it, and yet on top of that, that Jeremy, you remember that we spent about 3 days filibustering at the end of the year last year, and that bill ended up dying because of that, and you have to restart each and every year. And then you mentioned Governor Parsons, what he did. I knew that was going on. I had some different groups, not the governor's office, but different groups talk to me about that. And, of course, his concentrates somewhat on our military assets within our state, saying certain countries that are on a list provided by the federal government cannot own there. But an important part for everybody to remember within that executive order, and I've already seen it in the budget, is when we pass a law like this, Rusty Black passed all kinds of laws, and if we don't have somebody to enforce them, do they get enforced? 99.9% of the time, the answer is probably no. So Governor Parson, in his executive order, I think an important thing for people to listen to, has also included in the budget a position within Missouri Department of Ag, I think two positions, to help try to track these transfers with land, and it's very complicated. It's not just Rusty Black's name on a list. With the way that we use LLCs, limited liability corporations, and corporations, you've got to do some digging to figure out who's part of those. And I think for our state, we need to understand that's the most important thing. Of course, I think my bill's the most simple. It just takes it statewide. It reverts state law back to what it was in 2013 before it was changed in 2013 to help improve the dairy industry in the southwest side of the state. Was really why that was there. I know people point to Smithfield, and that had nothing, honestly, in my mind, in the history and digging in the corners at the Capitol, had nothing to do with it. It was trying to do work on the dairy industry in the southwest part of the state. That didn't come to be. It didn't change, so if we just go back to what it was 2013, it'd be much simpler, I believe, and hopefully I get to be part of the discussion going forward.
So like I mentioned in that first question, your name is on nearly two dozen bills in the Senate. I don't want to spend the next hour talking about all of them, going over all of them, but you know, what are some of the bills that you've put your name on that you think people should know about?
Yes, yeah, there's a few of those I highlighted. You said there's, I counted today, there's 20 some bills that have my name on them. Almost all those have been brought to me by different little groups, and they're little bitty fixes that would help municipalities in Northwest Missouri. Well, municipalities all over the state. Drug treatment courts, those are going on, but putting it in statute. And I have personal reasons to try to get drug treatment courts. But let's go look at some of the other things that are major that I've been trying to push. One of those is right of first refusal. It deals with electric transmission lines. You and I talked about last year with what's going on in the Senate. I'm afraid we're going to talk about again next year. But with reliability issues, green energy being the focus and being pushed on the federal government side with all kinds of tax credits for utilities, et cetera, electricity is going to be produced in the middle part of this country and moved to the coast where the large populations are at. And to move that electricity is going to go, going to take transmission lines to do it, new ones. And my right of first refusal bill says when those new lines are coming through, because everyone can't stop them, it'll be federal level. The FERC is the name of the organization. They're going to come through, and my right of first refusal is something that FERC, the federal government side of this regulation, has said if a state passes this, then the state gets to be in on the conversation where those lines are going to be located. And in our state, if we do this, we can do something called co-location. So an electric co-op member like Rusty Black can get value in the fact that the lines are going to go across my farm in the same exact spot that the current ones are at, on the same poles, and my electric co-op will get new transmission lines at virtually no cost, so it helps my infrastructure last longer, and I've only got one set of footprints going across my field to rip the markers off, and I know we don't use markers anymore, but to tear up equipment. So I'm going to continue to push that. It's not for any one electric company, et cetera. It's because I've seen some of the pictures of the electric lines that might be proposed in the next 50 years, and we need to get in control of that. Also along the electric side is gas-powered plants. I didn't know because my dad was in the district. He worked for St. Joe Light and Power, and he took care of people when their lights went out. I didn't know that was going to give me a small level of expertise, and people are coming to me to help do help with some electrical things, including electric generation. With coal power plants leaving, everybody I think listening to us knows that's happening. Federal government level, we're regulating them out of business. We're going to have something to take care of things when the sun's not out and the wind's not blowing. And it's probably going to be natural gas at this point because most people in the United States are too scared of nuclear. So to build a gas-powered plant, there's also all kinds of restrictions and so forth. So I'm going to do bills that help these companies that put in these gas-powered plants to have a little bit more reliability on their own, that they're not going to get 3 years into it, spend $1.5 billion, and all of a sudden get told no. They need to know whether they're going to get supported up front, so I've got a bill dealing with that. I'm also touching the education space. I think you and I have talked about before, teaching 33 years, then going into the legislature and the fight that goes on between public education, school choice, school reform. I just didn't want to fill my head with that, but there's a couple bills that I've filed that's going to help with teacher recruitment. I'm working with House members. And those things are very important. And I want people to know nothing that I filed did I not read it and understand what it is. But you have to set priorities when you do this, and we've talked about my priorities.
So I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't ask this, but a couple of weeks ago, the head of the Senate, Republican Senator Caleb Brown, held a press conference to announce that he was removing members of the Freedom Caucus from committee posts. And for those who don't know who the Freedom Caucus is, they're sometimes referred to as the Chaos Caucus. They've actually been referred to that for a few years now in Jefferson City, mainly because whenever they're brought up, they're usually stalling work by lawmakers, even, you know, Republican lawmakers within their own party. And I bring this up because when Senator Rowden made the announcement at a press conference, you were by his side and with him on this change. So I wanted to ask you about it and maybe see if you can give us a peek behind the scenes about what exactly led up to this.
Well, this is Rusty Black's Reader's Digest version. Freedom Caucus was conservative caucus when I went to the legislature in 2017. I did get asked to go to meetings, and that group vets you and decides whether you ought to be able to be there or not. It's a limited club, only certain people to get in, and I just wasn't, I'm not too much of a club member type person. And some of the things that they requested, I was unable to take an old man and fall in line with all that stuff. Then it has changed this year, as you just mentioned, to Freedom Caucus. And that's a national organization that, you know, rumors are you got to pay to become, number one, you got to be asked. Number two, you got to pay to be involved. I don't know what yearly dues, and I don't know whether there's any truth to any of that. But what has happened is over these years, from Conservative Caucus to Freedom Caucus, a group of people have determined to get the spotlight, get the news, get somebody like you to put them on all the time, and in my mind, get free advertisement. That's Rusty Black talking. That's not anybody else. And the more they cause the chaos, and that's how that word out there, most of the time around things that are just normal daily business, something we call the journal. Every day we have to approve the journal, which is the minutes from the day before, and people would take over the floor during that simple process and read books for 6 hours, 10 hours, it keeps us in the Senate from being able to work on real policy issues. Now, if Rusty Black wants to filibuster on a policy issue, or if another senator wants to filibuster on it, that's what that process was made for, to try to negotiate and get to a final end and sometimes kill it. You don't get to a final end because you're just not going to agree, come up with some place that you will agree. Well, to do that on simple things like the daily, it just got to a frustration level. People, including me, you said I was standing there, and yes, I certainly was, saying we've got to do something to try to take some kind of control back so we do the work of policy making, working on budget, not on what I call junk. And I use childish demands. You may or may not have heard pieces of me talking on the floor whenever I was inquired of. And I realized that what we did, there's going to be public out there think it was horrible. Ultimately, the group of us standing there went to the speaker and floor leader and said, let's start trying to fix this. And of course, this is a fix that I believe in. But we know we're going to hit bottom. We know it may get worse this year. But we've got to take back things, and I really don't want to change rules. I think Jeremy knows what last week, there's all kinds of excitement because the floor leader said something about you can remove a senator. Rusty Black can be taken out, and the Constitution allows for me to be forced out of the Senate by vote for senators. And that statement, whenever she was asked a question, what things can be done, well, that would be a far extreme, hadn't been discussed, that something going to happen, but then that got turned into wild accusations and et cetera. That's what I'm wanting to stop, is the wild accusations and stupid stuff for an old man like Rusty Black. It's going to get worse this year. I'm hoping that gets better if I get to serve in the Senate for a longer period of time. So as an old school teacher, you know, sometimes when you discipline things, it makes your life as a school teacher worse for a while. But you got to know at the other end of this, it's going to make your life better and the students' life better that you're trying to teach.
So one of the issues that was kind of creating tension between the Senate and the Freedom Caucus is something we've talked about before on here, the initiative petition reform.
Of course, they want to decide who the handler and they's that group, because, you know, they see benefit if it's somebody that they pick within their group, then as they run for another office or run to save their office, et cetera. And initially petition reform for Rusty Black, let's jump back. It's something I think needed to be done since I've been down there. People have varying reasons why they think Rusty Black, a Republican, want it done, and they, most of that's not probably accurate. It's their guess. But then that Freedom Caucus took that over, that issue, that, you know, for me, sitting down there, and my wife uses this all the time. Your perception is your reality. And sometimes when Carrie uses that, she's not talking nice to Rusty. But your perception is your reality. My perception of this is there's been times that those exact group of people have caused that to stall out or not pass in years before. And now this year, because of Missouri Right to Life, other things that are going on with abortions, now it becomes their largest flag to deal with and the control they wanted. I'm fine with what happened, Jeremy. I don't know how else to say it. And here's another thing. Senator Igel, he's what I would consider one of the leaders. He's not the chair of it. I think Senator Bratton is. But we get along fantastically. I was on his committee, unfortunately, for our personal deal, but honestly, it's been fine. We've talked to each other, and he's helped. The committee chair he lost, you're talking to the person that got that committee chair. Because I was on his committee. We've talked before that Rusty Black has reasons why, even though I'm not a veteran because of my son's experience and troubles he had after military, I really do care about veterans' issues. I wanted to be on that committee with Senator Igel, Air Force veteran, to try to have an impact. And you know what? After that's all over, our personal relationship, I'm going to tell you, didn't change. Now, I'm certain on a microphone and stuff that may not sound that way, but when we work together fine. We work together fine.
All right. Well, those are all the questions I have. Rusty, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Here's one thing I do want to say. Senator Hageman was caught up in this battle with the Freedom Caucus because they were really filibustering governor appointees, which also included a county commissioner in Chillicothe, in Livingston County. And that was another important reason for me to say enough is enough, is I believe Senator Hageman put on the commission is vital for rural Missouri. Yes, and I think super important for Northwest Missouri, because we all know that's his true love in the state is Northwest Missouri. But at the same time, he doesn't forget all rural part of the state. So having his voice on that commission is very good. And for Northwest Missouri, man, right now, Terry Ecker, Dan Hageman on the MODOC commission is fantastic. But all of us know Terry's been on there. He's served well past his term. Sooner or later, somebody's going to decide Terry has to leave. I hope not, but sooner or later. So with Dan being a new appointee on that, he's going to keep Northwest Missouri's voice on there. So that was another reason for this filibuster to get over, for the negotiation to happen, and get these government appointees that shouldn't even been a part of a filibuster to begin with, get that done.
All right. Thank you for joining us this morning. Once again, that is Missouri State Senator Rusty Black representing the Northwest Missouri area, pretty much all of our listening area in the Senate. I'm Jeremy Werner, and this has been your morning conversation right here on KXCV KRNW.